this is Happy Place. I'm Fern Cotton, and this week I'm speaking to a man who has lived through quite a lot. It's magician Stephen Frayne, known to you and me as Dynamo.
If you do have to go to the bathroom having Crohn's, you can be in there for 40 minutes. That date thinks you've done a runner. You know, I'm glad my wife didn't do a runner when I went to the toilet for 40 minutes on our first date.
There you go. She just sat there and thought, this is worth the wait.
Yeah.
This guy is a blimmin' inspiration. No matter how much you know about his journey, I can promise you, spend the next 45 minutes with us and you'll be ready to face anything today throws at you. Now, this was recorded back in February, back when we could use an actual studio, which feels like another lifetime ago. Since we recorded this episode, Stephen's posted that he's tested positive for COVID-19, a horrible thing for anyone, but particularly when you have Crohn's disease. He said that he's through the worst of it now, which is remarkable in itself. Dynamo, please get well soon. We're sending you so, so much love. As you know, let's keep others from getting this horrible virus and stay indoors if you can, listen to podcasts, read good books, be with loved ones if you can, if not, Zoom them, FaceTime them, all that jazz.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, here's the show. I was trying to think when I last saw you, and I know you came onto my Radio 1 show many times back in the day, but I haven't seen you since, and we have got a lot to talk about. How are you, first of all?
I'm very good. Yeah, I'm alive, and I'm just excited about what's coming next in my life. I've had a bit of an up and down couple of years, so it's just good to kind of be out there doing magic again and stuff like that. I bet it
feels amazing. When I was leading up to today, I started watching back some of your older shows to sort of refresh my memory and just see you in action again, and I've obviously been lucky enough to see you in person do what you do, which is just obviously astounding. My son, who's 7, is now hooked. He is just obsessed with watching your shows and had never really seen magic.
So what's his name?
Rex.
Oh, shout out to Rex. And hopefully, Rex, I'll see you in person at some point and do some magic for you in real life.
He would freak because, you know, this is the thing, like, for small kids, everything is quite magical. But when you see magic, it just blows your mind. And it's lovely that that translates to adults. And it's something that you said, you summed up so beautifully at the start of one episode. And I can't remember the exact wording, but you said something like that you love doing magic because you just want to eliminate stress for people, even if it's for a few moments, so that they see the magic out there. And I thought, what a wonderful notion, because we're sort of a bit dead to it as we're adults.
Yeah, I also think that magic is the one thing that has the ability to make us all feel like children again. Mm. As we get older and more cynical, we want to feel like that sense of wonder that we got growing up as a child, you know, when everything was just amazing to us. And as we get older, you know, we start to lose that. But when you witness magic, it makes you first just go, wow. And secondly, you instantly look, you look around like, I need to ask somebody. I need to ask an adult how this is possible.
I want the answer.
Yeah, so I think that's, you know, that's the beauty of magic, and I think that's why I love it so much, but also why I think other people tend to gravitate towards it.
And it allows you to remember there are other options and that you can look outside the box, because we all get so used to going, well, this is how it is. I wake up, this is what happens, I go to work, I come home. And for there to be other bizarre options out there, or other ways, other perspectives to have, because I guess magic, a lot of it is your perception of something happening.
Yeah.
And I love that it's an eye opener in that way. And it's watching you again has made me think how much it applies to our own lives and how we're so blind to so much out there.
I do believe that there is no blueprint to life. I think there's obviously people to look up to and maybe possible paths to try and take and to try and be like somebody else, you know, in a positive way. But I think that, you know, sometimes it's very easy to kind of forget that we are just all individuals and we can kind of do our own thing and, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do things.
Dynamo, I feel like your life story is one of sort of modern folklore now. Like, we all know about this sort of wonderful pivotal moment in your life where you're a teenager, you're being bullied at the time, your grandfather, who you're very close to, teaches you a trick where you hold your own weight down, and that ignited this, I guess, inquisition into, well, what is magic and how can it help my life? Is that correct?
That's the cliff notes. Yeah, yeah. I was getting bullied at school. I was a really skinny kid. They used to throw me into a wheelie bin. My grandpa showed me a technique to stop them being able to lift me up, which then I used at school. It stopped me getting bullied, scared people away a little bit, kind of alienated me to some extent because people thought I was a crazy demon child.
Right.
But it got me through my school years.
Yeah.
And then I kind of liked the stuff that my grandpa was teaching me. And when I went to college, which was a college a bit further away from the school I went to, so nobody knew me, I had like a fresh start. And on the first day, when they say, "Oh, what do you like? I play football, I dance, I'm Stephen, I do magic." And they're like, "Magic? What?" And that was like the first time I'd ever performed magic for like entertainment purposes. And I performed magic at college, ended up dropping out of college because magic was something that I'd wanted to pursue further. Mm. And, yeah, I guess the rest is history.
So when you were a teenager, were you kind of aware that you were using magic as a survival technique, essentially?
It never dawned on me that this was something I was ever going to go on to do for a living. You know, my grandma still thinks I'm going to get a proper job. But I,
She lives in hope.
Yeah. It was my survival technique.
And how did that affect your confidence? Like, knowing people that were kind of sat in awe of what you were capable of doing and that your hard work was now not only a survival technique but was paying off in a way where people were kind of mesmerised by what you were doing. Did that give you a kind of a boost and make you feel differently about who you were as a person?
Definitely gave me some confidence. It made me feel, I guess to a certain extent, validated. But at that time, I feel like I just wanted to fit in because I was, you know, I was an outsider for most of my school years, and magic was one thing that kind of brought people closer to me and made me feel a bit special. But it wasn't until I got a lot older and actually the success of Magician Impossible, my first TV series, that really made me finally feel comfortable just being myself. I think up until that point, I was always kind of playing a character or I was always hiding behind the magic, whereas the support and the kind of the way that people embraced me when TV show came out really kind of made me feel just comfortable, like people accepting me for me, because I put a lot into my show. As you've said, some of the quotes you've taken from my TV shows were just my real honest thoughts and opinions. And before then, I didn't really know if people were going to engage with them or if they were going to relate to them in that way. So I think, you know, it's taken been a long journey, but you know, all the adversities, all the things I've been through have kind of put me in a position where now I just feel super comfortable. I'm very lucky and fortunate that people like me for me and that they love magic.
I so relate, and I think we often assume that if we are just ourselves and we drop all the bullshit and we don't act or we drop the mask, whatever, people are going to reject us or alienate us, or we won't feel connected to other people. But I would say, I would put a punt on saying almost, you know, maybe 100% of the time, if you are just you and you are speaking your truth and you are being honest, even if it's not the norm or it's not what everyone else is doing, that's going to be the thing that does connect you with people and that allows you to forge proper relationships with people.
Yeah.
But we're sort of scared to do it.
Yeah, and I think it's important to stress in this day and age with things like social media and Instagram being at the height and levels at what they are. But, you know, when I was younger at school, I 100% fell into the trap of trying to fit in. Right, and I cared so much about what the kids in school thought about me and their opinions, and if anything was said to me in a negative way, it was really took to heart. But one thing I realised growing up as an adult, which I wish I knew back then, is that nothing any of the kids said at school has any relevance to my life right now. And it doesn't. Like, kids can be cool, and, you know, people behind a keyboard on social media can be cool. You know, it's cyberbullying going on a lot nowadays, you know. But you have to realise that, like, we are the creators of our own destiny. Like, we can choose who we listen to, who we don't listen to. And I think, don't care what anybody else thinks, you know. Be yourself, be a good person, do things for the right reasons, and, you know, make yourself happy. I mean, this is the Happy Place podcast, so,
you know,
it's the perfect place to talk about this.
I think if people are being negative from afar, like a keyboard warrior or somebody you know, someone you work with, someone in your family, whatever they chuck your way isn't really about you.
It's
about much more reflection of them, how they're feeling, their suffering, whatever. But in those moments, like you've said, you know, I still feel it now often. And I go, oh, my God, I'm taking this really personally, and I know I am. But you have to get back to what their actions are and the why around it. But it's not easy. And, you know, as you've said, it for you, it took this sort of incremental process and you finding that comfort in something you were really good at. And something, would you say something you're born to do? Do you have those sorts of beliefs, or something that you just worked to be good at?
I think there was a natural talent and flair and ability for it. Once I found that thing, you know, I tried everything, don't get me wrong. I wanted to be a footballer, a skateboarder, a BMXer. You know, I literally tried everything. But magic was the one thing that really clicked with me, and I felt like I, you know, had a bit of a knack for it. But it was nurturing and hard work that, you know, I wasn't always good at it. You know, I had an ability for it and I had a passion for it, but it's taken years and years of dedication and hard work to get to the level that I'm at today. And I'm still learning. I'm still a student in the craft, you know. So, you know, every single day, I think it's important to learn. You know, it's important not to shut your mind off.
You can never be like, I'm the top of my game, because then that's it. You're done. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's really great for me to hear, for other people to hear, that someone at your level, you know, world class at what you do, is still a student in that. I think that's so fascinating, because, of course, there's so many things still to discover and ways to, and again, goes back to perspective, so many things you can look at in a different way. And I think that's wonderful to hear, because we're all weirdly reaching for, I want to be the best that I can be. There is no best, because you just keep learning.
Yeah, and if there's listeners that are at school now or leaving school shortly, please, I beg you, don't stop learning when you finish school. It's very easy to get out of school and, you know, go into the real world and maybe stop reading books every day, stop studying things. But I have to say, if you learn every single day, you know, don't stop the process, because your mind can constantly keep growing and growing and growing, and there's always so much to learn.
You'll never get bored.
There's also not a question out there that you can think to ask that hasn't been answered by somebody else that's already written in a book somewhere.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I started learning after school. I barely did a thing in school. I was useless. I was barely there. My learning has all been after school, without a doubt.
I think most of mine was probably after school. I think the routine of studying came from school. It's kind of drilled into you.
Yeah, the discipline of it, yeah.
But often you're studying things that you're not passionate about, but you don't care about. You're doing it because you're told to do it by somebody else. Whereas if you keep the good parts of it, the learning process, the structure, the routine, but then you put that onto things that you actually are into, then you can create greatness.
I completely agree. I think it's so important, and that's where you find passion as well, when you find that thing that you just obsess about and you can't stop thinking about and you want to learn more about. That feeling is the greatest. It's gorgeous.
But so that's the happiness that it far outweighs any monetary value.
Oh, God,
far
absolutely.
Outweighs anything, you know. Like, that's when someone is happy in themselves because of something they're passionate about. That's the real happiness that I think people are always striving for.
You're chasing it.
But they're chasing it sometimes in the wrong direction or chasing the wrong things.
I know. I've got a whole order I want to go on, but I need to jump off this order because, as you're saying, too many brilliant things. So you've just reminded me of another, I think it was a video I watched of you, and, or maybe it was a picture and a comment, but you'd very eloquently written about when you were at the height of your recent illness and you were on a private jet and you were still touring and working, and seemingly in the picture, oh my God, he's on a private jet, he's got everything you could possibly supposedly dream of, but physically you were shot, you were in pain, you were in severe discomfort, and you would have just rather been on your nan's couch in full health. And I love
I mean, I'd always rather be on my nan's couch.
Of course you would.
She makes the best food, you know, waits on your hand and foot. She's amazing. Shout outs to Nell.
Oh, Nell. What's
She's
her,
90
what's her
years
recipe?
Old.
What's her thing? What's her meal? So,
massive Yorkshire pudding. Oh. Right, with her own secret recipe, corned beef hash in the middle. It's the best.
Oh, Nell. I love Nell already. But I just thought it was so important that you made that point that, you know, you've had extreme ends of the scale with where you've come from, moments you've had of extreme excess and decadence, but knowing the importance of health and where your happiness lies in that passion, I thought was brilliantly put.
It's cliched, but health is wealth.
Health is wealth. We're going to talk about that more in a moment, but I want to follow on from what we were talking about. When you've got, you know, a following now, people are interested in what you're doing. You're creating spectacle wherever you go, and people are fascinated in what you're doing. Your TV show's doing insanely well. You're winning awards left, right and centre. How do you feel about yourself at that point?
I mean, you know, obviously I feel pretty good. Like, you know, no one wakes up in the morning thinking, oh, I don't want to win an award today, or I don't want to get complimented. You know,
more
so
of
obviously
those awards.
It's great for the ego.
Yeah.
But take the ego out of it, you know, I think I've always been the sort of person who thinks, you know, I do deep down, not in a self sabotage way, but I do think, oh, I wish I'd have done that better. Or I've got improvements to make. It's an ongoing process to find greatness and to try and do things that are going to inspire people. The legacy that I'm kind of working towards is not even a legacy for me anymore. I feel like I've achieved everything that I ever... Well, I've achieved far more than I expected that I was going to. So for now, it's more about doing things that are going to potentially inspire the, you know, a 10-year-old to who watches a video to then go on to follow their dreams, and then they go on to be successful, and then they inspire 100 other young people to then go on to follow their dreams. You know, it's like an ongoing legacy that far exceeds anything that I've done. I mean, 100 years from now, if when they think of Magic, the Dynamo still comes to mind, I'll be happy with that. But it's not necessarily about me anymore.
I love that. And do you think in those extreme moments of success, it helped or hindered your creativity?
I think it could hinder it a little bit. It's very easy to become complacent. I definitely had bouts where I maybe didn't practice as much as I used to, or I took for granted the level I was at, you know. But that's where, you know, you can lose it. That's where other people, because there's always other people out there, you know, trying to kind of not vie for your position, but there's always other people that want the attention that you're getting, and they're always willing to do, some people are willing to do more than you are to get that attention. I've never really overly concerned myself with being the centre of attention. I'm quite a shy guy generally. I'm quite reserved. I keep myself to myself. My favourite times are when I'm just at home chilling with my wife and my dogs, and, you know, kind of not doing anything, you know, particularly. Just watching movies and stuff like that. Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
but yeah, so like I just think that success can have a negative impact on you if you let it.
Yeah.
You need good people around you to keep yourself in check. You know, if you have yes men around you when everything's going great, then they're just going to keep hyping you. But then when something, you know, when things go wrong, then these people might just disappear. And sometimes it takes things to go wrong to realise who the real true friends are that you've got around you, and who the people are that are going to stick by you through the thick and thin.
And so have you been that through experience? Have you managed to sort of distill that group of people around you quite organically, or have you sat and gone, right, this person's not working, they need to go?
I've never overly kind of pushed people out in that way, but I think they've almost done it to themselves. You know, if you don't have to do it, that's the thing. You know, it's pointless worrying about things you can't control.
Yeah.
Like, if you can stress about them, but you can't control them, so it's only going to just make you more stressed. It's not going to change the situation. Whereas if you just kind of do something and then let, you know, if something bad happens, focus on how you can get better from that bad situation, and everything else will work itself out.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
What moments were more surreal than others during that time when you were on your ascent, when things were, I mean, they've always been going well, but when you were on that initial climb from being Stephen, you know, being bullied at school, to being this, you know, superstar that you are, what were those moments where you just thought, what the heck, who, I can't believe I'm with these people, I'm in this place, you know, do any
I still pinch myself every day.
Really?
I'm sat with Fern Cotton.
Oh, shut up.
Like, no, but come on. Like, you know, it's crazy. Like, I, every single day, I get to meet people. Like, last night, right, I was so hyped. I'd done an Instagram story just talking about one of my favourite rap albums. One of my favourite rappers, Yellow Wolf, is a rapper from America. He was signed by Eminem's label. He's not, like, the most super well-known guy, but I'm, like, a super fan of his. And I just did a post about him. And he replied.
Oh,
he replied, like, you know, it's amazing. And I think that's, I think sometimes, you know, we get caught up in the fact that, you know, like, it's so easy to, you know, to get a lot of followers, right, and then not respond to people because you think you're above them, right, or you think, oh, it's not cool if I reply to them. But I'm like, we don't understand that that one response, for me to get a response from Yellow Wolf, that's like made my week, right? So imagine some kid who's inspired by you writes to you. All it takes, you can literally write, thanks for the support, or you can literally write, have a great day. It doesn't have to be anything big or major, but that can change that person's life and cheer them up for the whole week.
I
think we don't always understand the power that we have in this position, and I think it's important that, you know, if you get to a place, you know, where a level of success and you are influential, to be careful with it. It's cliched. You know, I actually think it was Churchill, not Spider-Man, that first said this. But no, with great power comes great responsibility. But that statement just rings true in everything.
Last week, I read a brilliant book over Christmas by the actress Busy Phillips, and it's a memoir, but it's exceptional. And I Instagrammed about it, and then she started following me. I was like, oh my God. And I've just, like, nerded out reading about every part in depth of her life. And like you say, it is, you know, even if it is like a frivolous moment, it's like, oh my God, that's a lovely little unexpected moment of my day. Brilliant. Yeah, heavenly. So let's talk about the adversity that you've had to face more recently. So as a teenager, you were diagnosed with Crohn's. How did that affect you at that point and during your ascent to the success that you're in now? How did it... did it hinder you in any way? Did it become a focus at that point, or were you able to sort of stabilise it and carry on?
I mean, it definitely ruined my date life.
Right.
Crohn's disease and dating, it's not like the best combination, because most often, right, think about the average typical date. I mean, it's different nowadays. I've been married for 8 years now, so I've kind of missed out on the whole Tinder thing and the whole online dating thing. I don't know if that's a good... I guess it's a good
thing. I'm grateful that I missed out on that.
I'm grateful too. And, you know, I'm married my best friend. She's amazing. So, yeah. But, like, when I was younger, the typical thing to do on a date was to meet and was to meet at, like, a restaurant or something like that, you know, and which involves eating food. But the thing is, like, with Crohn's, I was off... You know, first off, you're nervous about the date, right? And then I'm also doubly nervous about having to potentially eat in case it has a bad effect on me. And then if you do have to go to the bathroom having Crohn's, you can be in there for 40 minutes. That date thinks you've done a runner.
Right.
You know, like, God. It's just not good. Like, you know, I'm glad my wife didn't do a runner when I went to the toilet for 40 minutes on our first date.
There you go. She just sat there and thought, this is worth the wait.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait for this guy. Yeah, that's not fun.
So, you know, but on a real note, though, like, it definitely did put a hindrance throughout me kind of getting out of the house, doing things. I was always nervous to go out and just to leave the house for more than, like, you know, 15 minutes, or to even go that far afield, you know, not knowing where toilets are going to be. You can have flare-ups at any time. You can have, you know, your tummy can do a somersault at a moment's notice. Without going into too much detail, you know, I don't want to, obviously, you know, it's quite a disgusting thing that happens inside your body with Crohn's disease. And I think that's why a lot of people don't always talk about it or feel embarrassed to talk about it. I've never really particularly felt ashamed by it or anything like
that.
So
you shouldn't. I think it's great to talk about it.
It's not something you should be ashamed of. But I understand that it's not the easiest thing for people to talk about or for people to want to talk about. So for me, you know, it was always, I think that's partly why I ended up becoming a bit of a loner and staying in and, you know, reading books and reading magic books and learning magic and just kind of, you know, keeping myself to myself, because I was always scared or nervous to go outside in case I end up too far away from a toilet and have an accident.
And did you, so then that good group of people around you, when you started having to sort of travel the world, and I'm sure your schedule was just ridiculous, like bananas all over the shop, did that group kind of keep you feeling safe and stable that you could travel freely and do multiple gigs in a week?
Yeah, but you know, the people who work with me and my team are amazing. And I think that's one of the things that kind of made me really focus on getting better was the people around me. Because when I got ill, I was like, initially you think, oh man, my life's over, you know, I've been told by the doctors I can't perform magic again, that's, you know, I've got arthritis in all the joints in my body, I've got Crohn's, you know, this is the worst thing ever. But then the realisation hits you that actually, you know what, it's not even about me. I've got responsibilities. I've got my family who rely on me to bring in an income for the family. You know, I've got like, you know, 12 people who work in my company whose, you know, mortgages and bills that they've got to be paid. And, you know, they're going to rely on me to go out there and perform. And if I'm not able to perform, like, once you have that realisation, you have them responsibilities, it kind of forces you, you know, I have to come up with a solution. I remember when I had that realisation when in my hospital bed a year and a half ago, I was like, all right, well, the doctor's telling me that I can't shuffle cards anymore. I've got arthritis. I might not be able to perform in the way that I used to. So I went to autopilot thinking, all right, how can I create magic where I don't use my hands? It's not me physically performing it. I put the magic in the audience's hands and empower them to create magic. Is that a thing I could do? You know, and I ended up writing 100 ideas down of how to kind of still do magic without being able to do magic. Mm. You know, I think sometimes responsibilities, they can be a burden on you, but they can also inspire you to, you know, to do something greater. And it's the responsibilities and the, I guess to a certain extent, the pressure thinking that I've got all these people relying on me that forced me to not let this illness stop me.
But it's incredible that you saw that pressure as a sort of impetus to get back to doing what you want to do rather than it crushing you, because that is a lot of pressure. That is a lot of people that you love that you know could be vulnerable if you're not working. And I do think it's incredible that you did that. So correct me if I'm wrong. So the illness that you've had to more recently heal from is you had a bout of food poisoning, and that triggered arthritis. Is that how it
manifested? So the food poisoning combined with Crohn's, big, big problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, the worst thing that could happen for a Crohn's sufferer. But then it caused the Crohn's to spread to a different part of my bowel. And when it spreads into that part of the bowel, one of the side effects can be arthritis.
Wow.
And I ended up with arthritis in 32 joints in my body. My fingers, my toes, my hands, my shoulder, my neck. Like, there was days where I woke up, I couldn't walk. I couldn't get out of bed, couldn't physically move. So, you know, I've worked over the last couple of years with rheumatologists, different doctors. The NHS have been absolutely amazing. And, you know, I was bedridden for a lot of the time, so I kind of lost myself in books and, you know, just got addicted to kind of, you know, trying to find a way out of the situation.
I was sent your reading list before this by your team, and I was like, you can't have read...
Who sent my reading list?
200 books in a year. I thought I was a bookworm. Bloody hell, you read me out of the water. It was insane.
I can't believe they've given my reading list away.
Yeah, I loved it. It was very exciting. Really, I didn't realise... Great books on there. Can you say what was your favourite book
secret
in the last year? Is there any...
I'll pick my favourite author.
Okay.
Yeah, Ryan Holiday.
Okay.
He's wrote, I think he's got 7 or 8 books. I've read all of them. The first book of his I read was called Trust Me, I'm Lying, which I just thought was a really funny title.
Yeah.
And it was more about... That's his book about marketing in the modern age, which, you know, but using like social media and stuff like that to have an impact and to cut through, which for a person of, you know, who kind of grew up on the YouTube, putting out YouTube videos, you know, and grew up on social media, I thought it was very informational and I really enjoyed it. But then his other books that I've read, like Obstacle is the Way, and Ego is the Enemy, they're all based on Stoic philosophy. which is, I don't necessarily say that I follow it religiously, but I, you know, I've kind of I came across it whilst I was in hospital, and definitely some of the attitudes and some of the paths that they choose to take and way that they look at life as a Stoic practitioner definitely helped me. So I guess I'm kind of a bit of a Stoic person, because, but not in the typical sense of what this word Stoic means. Stoic philosophy was a guy called Zeno, I believe it was, who first started it, and he would basically not preach, but like he'd teach students the art of living the good life, and how, you know, and he'd teach them his philosophies. And then it went on to be something that was used by, you know, by the one of the biggest emperors of the world, Marcus Aurelius. And if you look at a lot of the successful people in the world, or a lot of people that we look up to, such as Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Barack Obama, they've all taken kind of these Stoic philosophies and used them in their own lives. And they often reference Marcus Aurelius' book, The Meditations.
Wow.
So, you know, it's... You know, I mean, I'm amongst good company following in the paths
you
of the Stoics.
Are. Tick that box for sure.
So Ryan Holiday, my favourite author.
Okay, I'll take that one.
Anything by him, I would recommend.
Okay, I've not read any, so I'm fascinated. You know, I'm an absolute bookworm, so any good recommendations I'm always, you know, hungry to hear about. So when you're in your hospital bed, it's one thing to know you've got that pressure and that you have the desire to heal or find new ways to be able to do what you absolutely love. And then it's another thing to actually do it. So how did you find that motivation when, as you said, for days you might be bedridden or can't get out of bed? Your dexterity is your everything at that point. You know, you need to be nimble and agile to be able to do your job. So you're having to think outside the box. What was that healing process? How did you start to get yourself out of that hospital bed and get back to the life that you wanted to lead?
I realised the purpose that I had to get out there and do, you know, the realisation like of having the responsibilities, but then also having fans out there who maybe, you know, who are going to worry about me, who are going to want me to get better. It gave me the purpose and the drive that I needed to kind of not let these people down. That was the main thing, I'll be honest. It was not letting other people down. But I think it was a good catalyst to kind of cause me to, like, to do something.
And have you got a strong willpower naturally? Or is that something that you had to kind of dig deep and cultivate during that time?
I think anybody who's got Crohn's disease and is surviving it has incredibly strong willpower. I don't think you have it naturally. I think you learn from dealing with the adversities of everyday illness. But I do think, you know, I grew up on a council estate in Bradford, not the typical or the best start or choice that you would generally choose. If you had an option, where do you want to grow up and, you know, what upbringing would you like to have? Council estate in Bradford's not top of the list. I loved it. It was my life. I wouldn't change it for the world, but it wasn't the easiest start. But if you think about it, like going up there and kind of honing my skills, performing magic to the kids on the estate, you know, getting beat up every day, getting laughed at, kind of the stuff I had to go through. My dad was in jail, you know, like my mum was really young when she had me, so, you know, not really having a proper family group around me, it caused me to kind of have to find myself at a very early age. And as I said, I was still, it's taken me to adult life to properly find myself. But I was finding out about things and teaching myself and kind of, you know, looking after myself when I was young. And I think that set me in good stead to be able to deal with anything. You know, people say to me, do you ever get nervous performing in front of, you know, people? Like, you perform in front of celebrities, or you perform in front of big crowds. I'm like, I used to have to perform in front of, you know, Sonny and Dean on Delphill Estate.
Yeah,
who would literally batter me if this trick didn't go right.
Ugh.
That's scary. So if I can deal with that, you know, I can perform anywhere.
Oh, that is genius.
And I think that did set me up for everything in my life. You know, I don't look at problems and think, oh no, this is the end of everything. Initially, you might have that instant reaction, but, you know, I always try and approach things like the book that Ryan Holiday wrote called Obstacle is the Way is exactly about this. It's about the obstacle that's in front of you is often the way. You have to go through that obstacle to learn about yourself, to develop ways to deal with anything.
And as I've said, like, I think culturally, especially in the world that we live in today, where everything is so quick, you order something, it comes that day. You know, TV, what do you want to watch? You've got 200 channels to choose from. You can go on Netflix, you've got bloody millions of things. Everything is quick, everything is instant. So when we're faced with obstacle, we're getting less able to deal with that, I think, as, you know, culturally. I think, especially in the UK and other, you know, countries that have access to technology and the modern world, we're getting less able to deal with that, but it's still important. And I can certainly relate to a lot of what you've said with the moments that I have found the hardest, where I've had, you know, been feeling so low and so awful, been on antidepressants or whatever. They're the bits where actually moving through them or working with them is where you reach a sweet spot, or where you find a new thought which leads you to a good place. It's, and we don't want to go that route. God, no, we want to go the easy route.
But it's like what we were talking about earlier on when we're talking about failure. It's those moments where you hit rock bottom that you learn the most from. And I think, you know, if you go through life and everything just goes perfectly, then you might have a good life, but you probably haven't, you know, you don't learn how to deal with negative situations.
Yeah, and coping, just
and coping, yeah. So I do think that adversities are the makers of some of the best moments of your life. If you look at some of our favourite music artists, you know, of the last decade or whatever, like, you know, Amy Winehouse, Eminem, you know, these are people that you can hear in their songs. They've had pain. They've had a lot of hardship. But it's they've come out the other side. But they wouldn't have been that person that they are without that hardship. Mm. So that's why I embrace the situation I grew up in. I embrace the Crohn's disease. I embrace, you know, any negativity that can get thrown at me. You know, bring it on, man. Like, you know, we've got to, like, there's nothing, if we can survive this, then nothing can stop us. Mm. And I think that you also need to realise, you know, like, it's very easy for me to sit here as someone in the public eye, as someone who has a lot more luxury and options available than maybe I would have done back when I was living on Delfield Estate. But, you know, I really do think it's about attitude and perspective. And one thing I would say is, you know, it's like, you know, it's so easy to, like, sweat the small stuff. It's so easy to get caught up by the little things. You know, like, you can watch the news every day and live in constant fear.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're often told the negative stuff, and we're often told things to be worried about. Or you can, you know, you can, like, only watch the news once a week and only worry about it once a week.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You'll still know it. Like, in the news that you watch on a Friday, if you watch it once a week, they're still going to tell you all the news that's happened in the week.
Oh, bloody hell. Our news hasn't changed for 12 months, has it? It's been the same headline for 12 months. We know what it is. Well, 2 years. It's not going to change. Yeah, we know the headlines.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, it's about, you know, just taking each, just living in the moment, being present, and not listening to everything that everyone tells you.
Mm.
You know, making up your own decisions. We're in control, as I said, we're in control of our own destiny. And, you know, if we can all do amazing things. You know, I've become a magician from Bradford. You know, I've travelled the world with a pack of cards. I never in a million years would have thought that my life would turn out the way it did.
Hmm.
But thanks to the imagination and a little bit of self-belief, here we are.
Oh, that's so brilliant. And long may it continue. I can't wait to see what you've got in store for us next. I can't wait to see your new show. I can't wait to watch it with my son, because to sit and watch his face, it is joy, like, for a mum. You just go, oh my God, look at him. He's just complete, I mean, I'm in disbelief, but he is just, he's been taken to another world, and it's really special. And I think what you do on an entertainment level, but also just how you speak, is really important. So thank you so much for your time today. And thank you so much for coming on Happy Place.
Thank you very much.
What a total legend. Dynamo/Stephen, thank you so much for spending your time with us. I so enjoyed that. His new show, Dynamo Beyond Belief, launched on Sky One and Now TV this week. Do go check it out. And Stephen, stay safe, mate. We're sending you so much love, and we hope that you fully recover really quickly. Okay, more episodes of Happy Place coming in the weeks ahead. We've got a couple of absolute corkers for you. So don't forget to subscribe to get new episodes of the show every Monday straight to your phone. You can do that for free on your podcast app of choice. And to find out who's on next week's show, find us on Instagram at Happy Place Official. Thanks again to Dynamo. Get well soon. To the producer, Matt Hill at Rethink Audio. And to you lot for listening. So appreciated as ever. I'll see you next week. Stay safe. Stay home.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.